I recently read a letter from a church that was reviewing pastoral candidates. And these are not your usual pastoral candidates. The first candidate that they had was Noah. The letter said he'd been preaching for 120 years, but did not have any converts. Then they said Abraham slash Abram, that he must be hiding something because he uses an alias. You know, and said, you know, he can't even control his own household, and his wife laughs when he talks to God. You know, and they said, Moses, we were impressed with Moses except for two severe problems. He seems to lose his temper at times, and his stuttering and stammering may prove to be a hindrance at times. David seems talented in writing, especially poetry, but he seems to have had some moral lapses at times, so we don't know about him. Isaiah, a likely candidate, said, but imagine meeting God and all you can say is, woe is me. You know, said, how would he greet and welcome people coming into church and make them feel welcome? Jeremiah said they just felt unanimously that he would be too depressing in any church position. John the Baptist said his preaching is good, but he dresses very unusually and strange and has a peculiar diet. So what would we do if he brought an insect, honey-dipped insect casserole to potluck? Peter, a good leader, good leadership skills, but said, do we really want a leader that carries a sword? Yeah, I think so. My words. Paul, a good preacher, very, very moving, but said, that's just the thing. He never stays in one place. He's always on the move. Said, the letter ended, said, the committee regrets to report the candidates in question are not suited for pastoral ministry. What do you think? You know, Paul did become the leader of the Thessalonian church and others. You know, in chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians, Paul talked about the ideal church. Chapter 2, he talks about, you know, the model leader. You know, and I say this right off the bat, you know, I admit it, reading some of these things makes me feel a little inadequate, you know, but I still learn. You're never too old to learn. You know, leadership, especially in churches, is a hot topic these days. You know, there's always podcasts to listen to, always somebody on YouTube, you know, giving talks. You know, there's always books to read. You know, there's always something about leadership. Every one of you is a leader in some way. At work, at home, anywhere and everywhere you go, you are a leader. Good, godly leadership is very much in demand today. To lead with humility, integrity, honesty, servant leaders are needed. But the thing is, they're in very short supply. One thing about leaders, some people have a tendency to put them on pedestals. The leaders do not do that. People put them on pedestals. But when you put leaders, especially spiritual leaders, on pedestals, you're setting them up for failure. Leader meets expectations, doesn't offend you, good, they pass. But they say something that you don't like, boom, they fail. We're looking at chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians today, what a leader should and should not be, and what a leader wants others to be. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain. But even after we had suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold to our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. For our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanness, nor was it in deceit. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, who tests our hearts. But neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is our witness. Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and toil, for laboring night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you, we preach to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. The word of God for the people of God. You know, in the very first verse, Paul tells us what a leader should not be. Remember, Paul spent only three weeks in Thessalonica, leading, teaching, discipling them. Then a riot breaks out. Paul has to sneak out of town during the night. Then a smear campaign starts against him, making up stories and lies about him. They said he was insincere. They said he deserted him, that if he really loved them, he would have stayed. Paul is just like so many others that travel town to town, weaklings. But Paul said, no, I'm not like that at all. In fact, he says, we came in the midst of suffering. In a sense, what a leader should not be. Verse 3, our exhortation does not come from error or impurity or by way of deceit. The verse has a triple negative. We were not this or this or this. But Paul trying to show the church and people that he was not like all the other false leaders. Traveling ministers, we know what that's like. Some had really become a problem for the early church. It took advantage of people that all they were after was money, what they could put in their pockets. But Paul's saying, I was not like that. I did not deceive you. A spiritual leader should love the truth and speak and live the truth. And Paul's saying, I did just that. Paul had very little tolerance, really no tolerance for anybody that did not love the truth, but especially leaders. Because there were so many charlatans, traveling leaders, the early church came out with a book that did ashe. It was or is the teaching of the apostles, how to run a church, and part of the book was how to handle someone coming to town claiming to be a preacher of the gospel. And it says, above all, we give thanks to you because you are mighty. To you be the glory forever. Remember your church, Lord, to deliver it from all evil and to make it perfect in your love. From the four winds, gather the church that has been sanctified into your kingdom, which you have prepared for it, for yours is the power and the glory forever. And the book goes on to say, let every apostle that comes to you be received as you would the Lord. And how would we welcome the Lord? With open arms. But then the book says this, that if the apostle stays one day, good. If he stays 2 days, good. But if he stays 3 days, he's a false prophet. He's a moocher. My words. You know, but 3 days, if he stays 3 days, he's a moocher. And it says when he leaves, when he goes forth, let him take nothing but bread. You know, if he asks for money, then he's a moocher. He's a false prophet. The idea a preacher comes to town, and what's the first thing he says? We need a potluck, and I want prime rib on that pot, you know, on that potluck. You know, the idea is, you know, preacher comes to town, you know, thankful for anything he can get, whatever the potluck has, you know, he's going to, you know, eat it and be glad he just has something to eat. One thing leaders should not be is deceivers. And Paul said, I was not that. He said, I lived honestly among you. And verse 4 says, a leader should not be a people pleaser. And Paul says, we've been approved by God and trusted with the gospel. But just as we've been approved by God and been trusted, so we speak, not intending to please people, but to please God who examines our hearts. One thing we see a lot of these days, the word of God being watered down to taper down the message of strength and power, to compromise the truth, to win the favor of men. And why? Because everybody likes to be liked, to get the pats on the back, to get the attaboys, to get, yeah, People will sometimes become people pleasers. And when they do that, they're watering down the message of God just to get people to like them, when the only real concern should be, God, what did you think about the message? David prayed, Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. Paul was not one, and he tells us he was not a people pleaser, that he never watered down his message to get a pat on the back. In fact, Paul said to do that would disqualify him for ministry. As you read the book of Acts, you read where the leaders were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the truth of God with boldness, and some received it, and some followed Christ, and some did not like it, and they did not follow. There's a saying today that's been around for a while, the itching ear disease, that we like to hear things that make us feel good, but said, don't talk about me. Don't talk about things, the hard issues in life that I have to deal with. In 1877, a preacher named Philip Brooks, Yale used to have these lectures, and he spoke and said, courage is the indispensable requisite of any true ministry. If you are afraid of men and play to their opinions, then go and do something else. Go and make shoes, even paint bad pictures to suit their bad taste. But do not keep on saying what God sent you to declare. End quote. But also, we're not to go out of our way to make somebody mad just in the name of God. Make decisions to please one person and one person only, or just to please God. There's a difference in flattery and encouragement and praise. Flattery is buttering someone up just to get what you want, ulterior motives. But true encouragement does not have ulterior motives. True encouragement is just to lift somebody up in heart and mind to be a better person. Verse 6 says, nor did we seek honor from people, either from you or from others, though we could have asserted our authority as apostles of Christ. Paul, a chosen apostle by God, on a different spiritual level and plane than any of us here today. He could have been authoritarian, but he was not. But the thing is, each and every one of us, we all need authority in our lives. And what is that authority? God the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. But these days, people, and I'm talking about authority on a personal level, there's a lack of absolute truth and a lack of absolute authority. A generation that does or says, I can do whatever makes me happy. Scripture described this of Israel at one time. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And that's our world today. There's a story I heard a long time ago. It was a Navy captain on a ship. They're going along and he sees a light in front of him. And he tells a seaman, you know, flash that light and tell them to move 10 degrees to the north. So a seaman does. They get a response back. No, you move 10 degrees to the south. You know, so the captain tells the seaman, okay, tell him, you know, this is captain such and such. You know, tell him to move 10 degrees to the north. They get a flashback. Well, this is seaman third class such and such. No, you move 10 degrees to the south. You know, so he says, you know, to the seaman, tell him this is captain such and such, United States Navy. This is a battleship. Move 10 degrees to the north. They get a signal back. This is seaman third class, such and such. This is a lighthouse. You move 10 degrees to the south. You know, we all think more of ourselves, you know, than we should. You know, we find, you know, we end up in places, you know, that maybe, you know, we just ought to listen to God. When there is no absolute authority, no absolute truth, we crash. Paul's example of a godly leader is himself. Paul is saying leaders have a higher standard of responsibility and accountability. You know, not that leaders have a special halo, but leaders are held to a higher standard by God. Paul saw the gospel as put in trust to him, to tell everyone to speak the word of God plainly, boldly, accurately, and faithfully. That was the need then, and that's still the need today. But so many are perverting the truth. So many will not speak the truth. 2 Timothy, I solemnly exhort you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out. Correct, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not tolerate sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, itching ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires. They will turn their ears away from the truth and will turn aside to myths. The book of Hosea says, God's my people are dying because of a lack of knowledge. It was a famine of the word of God. You think that's our world today? There's a famine of the word of God. Because people just do not want to read. You cannot grow spiritually without a steady diet of the Word of God. Have you ever been eating? Moms, have you ever been eating? You know, you spend all this time cooking. You put it on the table. You know, you're eating. Then all of a sudden your kids say, okay, I'm done. I'm full. And I say, okay, well, oh, too bad. I made this big cake. You know, and the kids say, oh, well, I got room for that. Say, well, sorry, you know, finish eating, you know. But that's our world today. We have room for anything and everything that we can do, but we don't have time for church. We don't have time for prayer. We don't have time to read the Word of God. There we are. Verses 6 through 8, be gentle. Nor did we seek honor from people, either from you or from others, though we could have asserted our own authority as apostles of Christ, but we proved to be gentle among you as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. To be kind and gentle to people out there, but to speak the truth boldly. Verse 10, you are witnesses, and so is God, of how devoutly and rightly and blamelessly we behave towards you. Just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children. Yes, you need that gentle, loving kindness of the mother. Any of you moms, the disciplinarian? Huh? Shaking your head, Chessa? Huh? Yeah, I remember when I was working nights and Amanda would call me home, you know, you better come here and do something about your son. You know, the girls never had problems with, but the boys, you know, gosh. You know, be gentle as a mom. But at times we need that authoritarian dad. We need the Word of God to set us straight. We need somebody to encourage us, to admonish us, and to help tell us, hey, you know, you need to do this. Verse 12, walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. It's what Paul wanted for each and every one of us, for everybody reading this letter. This is not just about individual leaders. This is about you, the church. And what is a church? Every one of you. And what this church and all churches. If we as a church and we as individual believers are not leaders of our community, our state, and our country. Look where we end up. You know, think about this. You know, it's, you know, when we had kids, you know, always wanted those kids to grow up, you know, and, you know, leave, you know, start their own families, you know, and when they left, I was like, yeah, you know, and man, well, they left, you know, but what if they're 45 years old? And still at home and saying, mama and dada. You know, do we want that? You know, we have to grow up, people. You know, a steady diet of the Word of God to grow and mature in Christ. Verse 12, there's this word called, and it's present tense, but also future tense, that God has called you, But more than that, God is calling you and will never stop calling you to be his children, to be his followers, to grow in love and grace and mercy, to grow in his word, and to be his ambassadors for his son, Jesus Christ. That if we do not do it, then who will? Amen. Let us pray. Father, Lord God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for this day and every day. Lord God, we give you thanks for your written word, Father, Lord Jesus, that as a steady diet, we grow in relationship with you, Father, Son, Spirit. And Lord God, may we grow this day and every day in relationship with you. In your Son's holy and life-giving name, amen.